The book of Acts chapter 3, I want to read here, beginning with verse number 1. Here's what's on my mind. This is on my heart today. What do we expect from a Spirit-filled church? What are your expectations from a church that is Spirit-filled? At least that's our testimony. At least that's our profession. What do we expect from that? Let's read here. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Amen. What do you expect from a Spirit-filled church? Most of you know my testimony and my life of church exposure. My mom was saved when I was 4 years old in a little General Baptist church. Just actually, you could see the church from the house that she grew up in. And she got saved in that little General Baptist church. And it was just a few months after that there was a Pentecostal church that was having revival. And she was a little nervous about it. She was afraid of Pentecost. But she was hungry for more of God. She was hungry for the things of God. And so she went with my aunt, her sister-in-law, to this revival. And I don't know how many services went by, but some few services went by before the Lord began to draw her. And she made a move and was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Everything was different then. Everything was changed. And little did I know, I was too little, I was only 4 years old, I could have never imagined the importance of her coming to the Lord that year and being filled with the Holy Ghost that year. But it was a significant thing. And then from that time on, my whole life has been in connection with and associated with the church. Since I hardly remember not going to church. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting, since I'm 55 years old now, interesting to figure out how many times I've been to church since I was 4 years old. Of course, it's just an estimate, but I started by just taking the three services a week times 52 weeks times the years, 51 years. Then I had to add in, you know, a little estimate there of youth camps and VBS and you know, kids' crusades and revivals and conventions and conferences and all the other things, chapel services, the years I was in Bible school, the numbers just kept going up. I would estimate that this is a conservative estimate. I have probably been in 9,000 plus church services in my life. Some of you are older than me and serve the Lord longer than me, and you may even have a bigger number than that to boast of here this morning. But you can get a little picture there of how important that the church can be in your life, and what an effect can be felt throughout the years of your life and the direction that you take with your life. 9,000 times. But let me tell you, I have to step back, and also in my evaluation, I have to admit this, and without a lot of pride, I have to admit the fact that a majority of those services have been church as usual. There have been high times. There have been times when I have been blessed and touched and filled with the Spirit, and I've been challenged, and God has done mighty works in my life. But I have to admit that at least a majority of those services, and I don't know what the percentage would be, most of them have just been church as usual. Just come out of the routine. Not that it wasn't a good thing, and not that it isn't a valuable thing to go to church all the time. I believe you should do that. You need to be there. Amen. Be in the house of the Lord. Every time you have the opportunity, as much as you can get to the house of the Lord. And I think it's an important principle in the Word of God that we'll see even emphasized here in our text here today. What happens when you just continue and you know, because you see, the work of the Spirit of God is not something you can necessarily schedule. Or the moving of the Spirit is not something that you can really plan on. You don't know exactly how that God is going to move. I've been in services before where I felt like, well, this is just kind of church as usual, and suddenly something would start to change. And there would be just the wind of the Spirit would start to blow, sometimes into an altar service or into a prayer time, or even while I've been up in the pulpit before, I just sensed a special presence of God, an anointing of the Spirit of God, and everything changed. The normal and the average became something exciting. It became something that you were wondering, Lord, what is it that's going on? What are you saying? And what is it that you're confirming to us today by your Holy Spirit? I believe it's a good thing to have expectations as far as a Spirit-filled church is concerned. And we should put our hope and our trust in a God and that moves by His Spirit. And the wind blows where it listeth. You can't schedule it necessarily or plan it, but you can be always ready and willing and longing for God to do whatever it is He's wanting to do. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews chapter 10 says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. This was a command of the Lord. It was confirmed here in the Word of God in several different places as something that's very, very important, that you just be faithful and you remain steady and consistent in being in the house of the Lord and expecting God to do wonderful and mighty things among His people. Jesus, whenever He came out of that wilderness experience, you remember the story there in the book of Luke, when He came forth out of the Spirit after being tempted of the enemy. He survived it after that fasting and that challenging time of temptation there in the wilderness. The Bible says He came forth in the power of the Spirit. And then you go down two more verses to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So all the years we know that we only know about the life of Jesus and just a few little incidents in His life that are recorded in the Scripture up to the time He's age 12. But then He just moves out into obscurity and we don't know what was going on necessarily, except the Bible says that He went with His parents. He was subject to His parents. And so we can just assume that those years that are silent years in the life of Jesus, He was just doing what His parents asked Him to do. He was subject to them. And one of the habits that they got into, it was their custom to go to the house of God. They went to the synagogue and there the Scriptures were read. And as I was reading, one commentator was talking about the fact that, well, you know, it was probably not really the purest of worship as far as, you know, a lot of mixture and a lot of things that might have been going on. But it was his custom to go. And even as he started his ministry, you can see this experience of the wilderness and him coming through that more or less as the ushering in of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the first thing he does is go to church. goes to the house of God and he's used of the Lord to read the scripture. And he even is the fulfillment of the very scriptures that he's reading. He is the fulfillment of that as the Son of God and the ministry that he's starting out in. Amen. Now it's another time whenever there's this initiation of a new ministry. And this is in the first century church. And this is our text here in Acts chapter 3. We know that in the previous chapter, it's packed full of events that were going on. They were waiting in the upper room there, and the scripture says that there was a sound from heaven. There was a rushing mighty wind filled the room where they were waiting upon the Lord. The place was filled, and all of those that were there were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And this was the initiation of the church, Peter's sermon, and all of those that were pricked and convicted in their heart that day, and the thousands that came to the Lord. This was the beginning of the first century church ministry. Amen. And then in chapter 3, where are these apostles going? Back to the temple. At the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It didn't change anything because there was this pattern. There was this biblical principle that never changed. That there was the importance and the value of the church and getting together in the house of the Lord. But the thing that struck me as I was reading over and studying this passage of Scripture was not only the fact that they were starting out in this first century church ministry, but it was the fact that this man had been coming to that place for all of his life. No doubt from the time he was a small child. The Bible says that for 40 years, from the time he was born, this man had been brought to that place, to the gate of the temple. Now there are several gates that were around the perimeter of the temple, but this one was called the Beautiful because it was so magnificent in its size. It was bronze. They said it was made of Corinthian bronze. It had gold and silver all through it. And it was just something that was striking and beautiful and symbolic of the value of the house of God. But this man had been brought to this place from the time he was just very young, placed there. He was placed there strategically because he was going to be at a place where the most people were going to be coming by, and he was hoping for those who would come by who were compassionate and merciful and could help him out with just a few coins. And so that was his life. It strikes me as a very disturbing thing that there would be this man in great need, and it's both an actual need, a physical need that he has, but this is also a symbolic message that as the church is to be what it needs to be, that there are those that are right within our reach that have been neglected, they have needs, and they are crippled by sin, and they cannot find help. And the only help is a church that's filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. A church that's alive. This had been a temple with just the routine of worship. Most believe that worshipers went to the temple. This was the third hour or the ninth hour of the day. And most believe that it was at least three times a day that they went to the temple. The Jews went at sunup. Then they went when the sun was its brightest. This was the time that Peter and John went to the temple. And then they also went at sundown. Three times a day that they would go to church. So add up all the times the Jews went to church. And a lot of those times they passed by this man in his need. And sometimes they might have thrown a little coin in to try to help him out. But here was a man all these years who had been placed at this place at the temple. And why was this day any different than all those other years? The only difference were that these men had just come out of this glorious experience of the upper room. They had just come out of this experience of hearing the word of the Lord as Peter preached the word of the Lord and God using them and touching their lives mightily. And now everything has changed, and the new mission is the mission of the church, and it causes what is going on at the temple to be changed. Now the man says, the Bible says that he cried out to them and asked for help. You know, that there had been wonderful, mighty works, mighty wonders that had been accomplished in the lives of those apostles. So their mindset was changed. Their mindset was changed so that they didn't expect that they were going to go to the temple anymore and it was going to be ordinary or just church as usual. The scripture says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." So as a result of this outpouring of the Spirit of God, this account in Acts chapter 3 is just one of the no doubt many, many things that the Lord used the apostles to do. But this one's recorded for a purpose so that the church can take notice of the importance of you and I being a church that is a Spirit-filled church. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Used of God. Mighty demonstrations of the hand of God and the power of God, which causes church to be different. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Do you know there are so many things that are vying for our lives and our attention? So many distractions that keep us from focusing our hearts upon the things of the Lord. But here we are this morning. This is just an ordinary day. This is just another church service. The only thing that would make this service any different would be a visitation of the Holy Ghost. The visitation and the anointing of the Spirit of God that would rush into this place and begin to have an effect upon your heart and my heart, and our minds would begin to be focused upon the Lord and what He can do instead of what we've got to do when we get out of church and what's going on tomorrow and the pressures that are on us and the problems that we have and all these things. The work of the Holy Ghost can cause us to focus upon the fact that He can cause everything to become not church as usual, but something wonderful, supernatural. Amen, as we wait and believe God. Hallelujah. This man was crippled, and there's a lot of people that are crippled sitting at the church gates. A lot of people that are within our reach. You have to remember that this man, even though he was in the city of Jerusalem, and he was near the temple, placed there every day, no doubt, and all the things that were noised abroad in the city. But this was a man that was crippled. And so even though the crowds, they ran to hear what was going on when Peter was preaching that day. And this message that was being noised abroad in the city, the masses of the people of the city of Jerusalem, they were drawn to that and were hearing that. This man couldn't do it. He couldn't go. He was crippled. He was right back there at that place, that ordinary place where he was every day of his life. He was helpless, and no matter what was going on, his life was it was just destined to stay the way that it was. And that's the circumstance of a lot of people that are right within our reach. They don't know about a move of God. They don't know about anything that God is doing, but when the church becomes a church that is filled with the Spirit of God, then there is an effect. There is an effect that is brought to pass in the lives of people. And we long to see that. You know, a lot of people, you know, they could say, well, why should I go? It's going to be church as usual. It's just going to be an ordinary service. Nothing different than any other service. But if you will remain diligent, faithful, right in that place that God has called you to be in, this could be the day that God begins to work supernaturally. That God could work in our lives. As I said, that I have to admit that a lot of those 9,000 church services that I went to have been, you know, just a common service, a regular service. But there have been some services I have been in that I'm so glad I didn't miss them. I'm so glad I was there. Because I've been in some services when there were several people born again. I remember one particular service years ago on a Sunday morning. And it was just church as usual. But in that service, the Spirit of God began to move. And there were four or five people, as soon as the altar was open, that hit the altar and prayed through and were born again in that service. I'm glad I didn't miss that one. I've been in some services where there have been people with such great need and that there was such a desperation in their life, and they came to the Lord, and then they would have the testimony. This was the day that God did a work in my life, and He spoke to me and He helped me. I've been in services that have been life-changing. And even the preaching of the Word of God so affected me that I've never been the same again, just because I was privileged to sit there and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. What do we need to expect in a Spirit-filled church? What is our expectation? And I hope that I'm not being redundant, but really we need to understand that in the church there has to be this atmosphere of expectancy. There has to be this atmosphere that things are not going to be normal and that God will move when He chooses to. And so on that day, whenever that man who just said what he always said to those disciples, when he spoke to them, seeing Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, ask for alms. Give me alms. I just need enough just to eke out a living, just to survive. Just another day, as he sat there at the gate. But on this day, there were two disciples that were not the same. I am quite convinced that these same disciples had passed that same place and walked through that same gate many other times, because it was their habit to go to the house of God at the hour of prayer. But this was a different day. There was this glorious work of the Spirit of God that had been accomplished in them. And God began to use them, as we read the verse there in Acts chapter 2, of as many of the disciples began to be used of God, and wonders and signs and miracles were performed by their hands. And so they have come out of a mighty and glorious experience of being used of the Lord. And now they are going into the temple. And whenever that this man says, we just need some alms, just a little offering, just a little bit, just to help us survive the day. These men are different now. Amen. They're different. The Bible says that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, both of them are different. Now, instead of ignoring him and seeing this as just a commonplace day, instead of that, they said to him, look on us. Amen. Look at us. Look on us. And this was an invitation to this man to expect something. To expect something. Is it possible that right here among us, and that we could come to the house of the Lord and we could say to people, come here to church and look and watch what's happening in our life. See what happens in our life, because the Spirit of God is upon us. We are blessed of the Lord, and that we would have an expectancy, and thus we would give to everyone that comes into the services an expectancy of what God is going to do, from the young to the old and every age, who would normally just kind of turn it off and be disinterested, be distracted, busy with other things, hopefully not text messaging and all those other distractions, but instead your mind on the Lord, your mind on what the Lord might do. And with this sense of expectancy, this was the beginning of this wonderful work of the Spirit of God there at the gate called Beautiful. Hallelujah. Amen. The Scripture says that Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Again, he's still just expecting a little offering. Just a few coins is what he's expecting. But he doesn't realize that his life is getting ready to be changed. He doesn't realize that the thing that has stopped his future, his life from fulfillment, and he's been so hindered and handicapped by the situation of his life, it has defined him, it has stopped him, it has been his existence every day of his life. Amen. I don't want to live that way, and I don't want people who are within our reach to live that way. I want them to know that they can get help, and people can receive from the Lord, and that there is a move of the Spirit of God that is going on in our lives and in our services to such a degree that they can come and they can have an expectancy that God is going to move for them, and He's going to bring healing to them in the situation that they're in. I know you've heard the story of Thomas Aquinas, who went to the Pope. I believe it was Pope the Innocent II, and found him counting a large sum of money. The Pope said, "Oh, Thomas, the church can no longer say silver and gold have I none." And Thomas said, "That's true, but neither can we say, rise up and walk." And it's the truth. It's the truth. What is the greatest need of the church? It is the power of the Spirit of God. It is the working and the moving of the Spirit of God in every avenue of the work of the ministry, so that when those come in with their physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, people with their lives wrecked by sin, marital problems, problems with children. Let me tell you, there's more problems than you could ever enumerate that people are experiencing today. Overwhelming needs. And the church is not a social agency. We can't just offer help on the basis of a few dollars or a little offering or feeding the poor, although all those things have their place. And the most important thing that we can do is that we can change the circumstance in their life. We can see them healed and delivered. And so what identifies the church, first of all, is the fact that there is an expectancy. And then second, the Spirit-filled church is a place of healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A place of healing. All across the board. All kinds of situations. More than we could ever even understand or comprehend the needs that people have. We may not have a lot that others claim to have. But if we have the move of God, the Spirit of God, then that identifies us as a people that can be used of the Lord. Amen. What a wonderful experience. This man's life has changed. Peter said, "We don't have any silver and gold, but what we do have, we will give you." What we do have, we'll give you. Amen. Can you think about that convicting thought that people in their need are never going to receive help unless we possess something in our life that can help them? He said, we don't have the gold, we don't have the coins, we don't have the wealth, but we do possess something in our life. They've just come out of this glorious experience of the outpouring of the upper room and thousands being converted and God using them with wonderful signs and wonders. And here they are. They don't have money, but they have something much greater. The move of God, the power of God to bring healing to this man in his need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the thing that sets the church apart. That's the thing that helps us. People come all the time. Constantly come. And many of these who come by are masters. They've already got it all figured out. They know you're going to ask for identification and you're going to ask for certain things. They'll have their little portfolio ready for you. And they'll have all the places where they've been and other churches that are giving to them with a letter from other churches. We'll give them $50. We'll give them $100. And they come in with a well-prepared argument as to why that you ought to give them $50 or $100 or whatever that the need might be. And there are cases when they are legitimate and you can help people by giving an offering or giving them food or whatever. But most of the time, that's not their need because they're in a cycle. They're in a cycle just like this man who was brought every day of their life. And many of them, I've told this, you know, we could help you with $50, but a month from now, 2 months from now, you're going to be right back where you were. You're going to be in need because your real need is for God. You need God in your life. You need the direction from God and the Word of God in your life. You need to serve the Lord and begin to turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They need healing. Amen. The messes that the enemy has created today in the lives of people with addictions and multiple relationships and marriages and the most complicated messes that you could ever imagine. There's no way to unravel it all. It is only by the work of the Spirit of God that there can be a solution. But the Lord can do it. He can heal him. He can bring deliverance. He can change their life if they'll turn their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit-filled church has to be identified as a place where there is an expectation of the move of God, where there is a supernatural work of healing that results in a church that is filled with joy. Amen. Verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple. Never done that before. He was always at the gate of the temple. He was always outside. But now he's up on his feet. He is leaping. He is praising God. He is going with them into the temple. His life is never the same, and he is expressing that. And the Lord's name is being glorified in all that he is doing. Amen. That's what identifies a Spirit-filled church, is joy. Amen. Does everybody have a smile for me this morning? It would be so encouraging. I read where Irma Bodenbeck went to church, and a little girl that was in front of her turned around and was just grinning and smiling, and the mother spatted her on the backside and said, "You're in church. This is no place for grinning." Grinning is in order. Smiling is in order. Happiness is in order. Joy is in order. Amen. That ought to be the atmosphere, the house of God. Oh no, here we are, another service. Oh no, it's an hour long, hour and a half long. And be glad if they call it off. Hope we get a little small bit of snow so we don't have to go. Lord help us. Joy. Amen. In the house of the Lord. That's one of the things that identifies the work of the Spirit of God, is there's this enthusiasm and excitement. You're glad to be here. You're happy to be here. And that's contagious. People all around you are affected by that. Amen. Folks that visit in the services, they come in. And honestly, I've seen people so many times. It doesn't matter. Pentecostal, holiness groups, whatever that they might be. I've seen people where they look so unhappy. So unhappy. It's almost as if I would like to offer them some money to smile. Please smile. Please be happy. Please rejoice in the Lord. And be encouraged in the Lord. That ought to be the atmosphere of what is going on in the house of the Lord. A Spirit-filled church should be characterized by joy in this place. Amen. That's what was going on in this man. Now just think about it. This is his life. From the time that he has been born, that's been his existence. He had every right to do whatever he wanted to do. Jump up, walk, leap, scream to the top of his lungs, praising God, glorifying God. And I know it stirred up a lot of religious people when he did it. But let me tell you, this was something glorious and wonderful that has happened, that has changed his life. And that joy is contagious. Amen. Glory be to God. And the people saw him walking and praising God. The whole group there that day in the temple. Church as usual suddenly got interrupted. The program got interrupted. Oh, the priest and the order of the priest and everything that was going on that day, everything was just kind of cast to the side, because here comes this guy in, and they all knew who he was because they had seen him there for years and years and years. And now they see the miraculous that's taking place and the joy that has filled the temple because of what God has done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but several of these young men that have gotten saved, Josh and Josh, every time I look at them, I just kind of smile. Amen. Amen. They make me happy. Amen. They make me happy. And they ought to cause us all to have joy. Can you imagine what would take place is if every time we came in this building that there are those praying and coming to the Lord every service, and there are those that were being touched and healed, and the Spirit of God was being manifest every time we come together. This would not be church as usual. This would be a place filled with the joy of the Lord. Amen. The church that is Spirit-filled must be also filled with wonder and amazement. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Amen. That just simply means that they were all standing with their mouths open like, wow, what has happened? What has happened? This would be appropriate. It's not always appropriate. I know that the word awesome is kind of slung around and used all the time. This is awesome and that's awesome. But that was a good time to say, awesome. Amen. Wow. And that's what they were doing. Their mouths were open and they were saying, wow, this is incredible. This is amazing. This is wonderful. There was this surprise to what had happened to them. Isn't it wonderful when God moves in ways in our lives and in our services, and we just sit back and we're surprised by it. Surprised by the work of God. Surprised by the power and the working and the moving of God. And as a result of all of these things that happened, this set the stage, and I believe it was the reason why that this miracle was recorded, so that when Peter would be given another opportunity to preach a message that would clarify what God was doing and how that God was going to move through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It gave an opportunity for witness, and that's the fifth thing. It gave the opportunity. It set the stage for there to be a witness. Our witness many times to people is kind of empty and powerless unless we are filled with the Spirit. But it's really powerful when we can say, I was crippled for 40 years. I never got to go to church. I never went anywhere. My whole life was ruined. I was bitter and hopeless in the situation that I was in. But look at me now. Jumping up and down. Look at me now. And Peter took this as the foundation, as a witness, as a testimony to all those that were there that day to let them know that God is a God who can do wonderful and mighty things when you put your trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that little rock building, that little General Baptist Church where my mom heard the gospel. I'm grateful for what happened in those few months in her life. But I'm really grateful for the day that she heard the call and she moved on over to the Pentecostal church, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and God began to work in her life. And I've never been the same. I've never been the same since that experience. And I believe God. I want to come to church because I know that God has some wonderful things that He wants to do. I have a longing to be here because I want to see His hand. I want to see His power manifested. I want to see what He can do in a service that we've planned as He just moves in with a spontaneous interruption to what we have planned for the meeting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It doesn't mean that God can't anoint our planning and our, you know, the things that we're purposing to do, but we never make a plan that is not subject to the work of the Spirit, and that where we're always inviting and longing for God to come and interrupt our plans and do what He wants to do among us. That's what we expect in a Spirit-filled church. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of a move of God. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak to your people. And Lord, that there is great expectation of your power, Lord, to change lives, to turn things around for the glory of God, to bring about healing, Lord, in an atmosphere of praise and joy and happiness in our heart because of what you have done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work. And Lord, that we can be a part of this wonderful move of the Spirit of God. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There may be some of you here today. You didn't come expecting God to help you. But you need the healing touch in your life. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe you're dealing with issues, emotional needs. Maybe you're dealing with problems in your life that are overwhelming you. There is a healing touch. Hallelujah. In the presence of God. Glory to God. Discouragement, depression, the attack of the enemy against you, trying to defeat you, trying to tear you down. Oh, there is a victory. There is a healing. Hallelujah. Amen. How long has it been since you've just enjoyed the presence of God? Amen. Since you've just entered in with joy into the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, what joy. Oh, what amazement. What wonder. What power, Lord, that you can manifest among us when we gather together in this place. Hallelujah. Before everyone comes, I want to invite anyone you're in need, whatever that the need might be. Would you bring it to the Lord? Would you bring it to Jesus? Now, I can't do anything about it. There's not anyone here this morning that necessarily of themselves that can do anything except for the fact that God has anointed and He has filled us with His Spirit. We can pray the prayer of faith. We can agree together as a body and the Lord can help you in your situation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you in need? Why don't you come right on right now? Come right on to the front of this building. A physical need, a spiritual need. Other problems that you're dealing with. Discouragement or depression. Battling with an attack of the enemy against you. And you want the Lord's help and the confirmation that God is working by His Holy Spirit in your need today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Anyone? You're in need and you want the Lord's help. I encourage you to reach out to Him today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.